mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, everything is political these days, isn't it? The NFL case in point, to kneel or not to kneel, that's the question. And it depends on the political cause, of course. And ESPN, which I can't watch anymore, has become a one-way, extremely abrasive political think tank, with abrasive, holier-than-thou talking heads going at it 24/7, 365, and it's toxic, it's poisonous, it's ugly, reputations are ruined, characters are damaged, and the integrities of people are ruined who has a, quote, different opinion. Out-and-out demonization and destruction of those who have the supposedly wrong point of view or who, quote, think incorrectly. Now, there's nothing new under the sun, is there? Because in the Holy Gospel for today, the holier-than-thou Pharisees want to use politics to trap the preacher Jesus in order to trash him, to make him damaged goods, to destroy the preacher. And if they can, they'll even try and kill him. Now here's the setup. Hey, preacher, you're a man of integrity. You know, you're authentic. You're a godly preacher. You're not swayed by opinion polls. You're impressive. You know, when anyone prefaces their question with remarks like that, you know you're in trouble. And then comes the snare, time to spring the trap. Hey, preacher, tell us, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Or should we stick it to the man, take a knee, and give him the middle finger? Brilliantly played if you're trying to wreck the preacher's ministry. After all, if Jesus says no, it's not right to pay taxes to Caesar, then he's guilty of what? He's guilty of treason against Rome, and of course then the Herodians, the political animals that they are, will immediately call in the imperial SWAT teams to have Jesus arrested, jailed, drawn, and quartered. However, if Jesus says yes, it's perfectly fine to pay taxes to Caesar, then he's a traitor to his homeland Israel and all that is Hebrew, because no self-respecting Jew would ever listen to such a preacher again, and so Jesus would then be finished. In the text, we are told that Jesus sees their hypocrisy. He recognizes that the Pharisees could care less about taxes. It was just a game of political and religious entrapment, a gotcha game, and they were experts at it. But Jesus will not be caught. They will, and so will you. All right, boys, Jesus says, do you have a coin in your pocket? You do? Wonderful. Pull it out, please. Tell me, whose picture is on the coin? Huh? Cat got your tongue? I asked you, whose depiction is on it? Caesar's, they answer. Bingo! On one side of the coin would be Tiberius Caesar's portrait. On the other side of the coin, a picture of Tiberius on his royal throne with the inscription Maxim Pontiff, which means great ruler. Great ruler? You've got to be kidding. I mean, Tiberius was anything but. He was extremely brutal and highly vengeful. He was a nasty, nasty man. He had no ethics. He had no morals. You can just imagine what his tweets would be like every day. However, Jesus doesn't jump on that. Did you hear what I said? He doesn't jump on that. Jesus distinguishes between the office and the person who holds the office by declaring, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Do you get it? Huh? Do you get it? Jesus didn't say what? He didn't say give to Tiberius, but give to Caesar. Give to Caesar. So Jesus teaches us to look to the office, not the person. The person holding the office may indeed be wicked, cruel, and unethical, but that does not give you the excuse to diminish the office. The office of civil or civic authority is God's gift. Let us not forget that. That's what the scriptures teach. That's Romans 13. The office of civil or civic authority is God's gift to protect the innocent and punish the criminal. no matter if the one holding the office is a Christian or an unbeliever. Do you remember the Old Testament reading for today? God used an unbeliever, Cyrus, a Persian, to let Israel go home from exile. Now I warn you, I'm quite serious about this. If you use the failings and faults of governing authorities in order to purposely, I said purposely, despise and dishonor government, then you will invite the wrath of God and you will reap the anarchy that you sow. One of the most troubling things that I see in America today is that we Americans tear down not only the person but also the office. I beg you to remember that no matter who wins elections in this country, whether it's the presidency, governorship, Senate, I don't care what it is, you are to honor and respect the person for the sake of the office. You may not like a certain person who occupies the White House or the governor's mansion, but Jesus says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Now you're probably asking yourself, well, what am I supposed to give to Caesar? Well, according to Romans 13, if you remember, what do you owe Caesar? Taxes. I know you hate that. So do I. But I'm here to tell you that paying taxes is holy work. In fact, it's loving work. We pay taxes so that the Lord will use Caesar to provide for us, to build roads, fill the potholes, and keep the peace in our communities and country, to make sure that we have clean drinking water, that your toilets flush properly, and that your food is safe to eat, to provide relief and rebuilding after you lose everything, either from hail, tornadoes, hurricanes, wildfires, or earthquakes, to provide shelter and food for the poor. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I know that there's a lot of room for improvement and repentance in the way that Caesar spends or assesses our taxes. And so you then, as a citizen, you need to do your part to bring about such improvement by voting and getting involved in grassroots politics. So back to the text. You are to give Caesar honor as well. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Romans 13 says honor. But it is to be the proper kind of honor. It is honor because earthly authorities are God's instruments. They are God's hands to care for the citizen, to care for the community and the country, to do earthly work, not heavenly work, work for this world, not for the next. Now listen very carefully. Civil authorities cannot give you salvation. Civil authorities cannot bring about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven on the earth. That's not their bailiwick. Salvation is the church's chore. God uses the church and the ministers in his church to provide his kingdom reign and bestow gifts of salvation. And so I beg you, do not make the horrific and the spiritual deadly mistake that is so prominent today of turning God into Caesar or Caesar into God. Governing authorities are not little divinities to be worshipped as givers of salvation. They are simply creatures that God uses to take care of his creatures for this life, for this world. And that is the honor you are to give them in their office. It is for that reason. So it's a no-brainer that Caesar wants your taxes and wants your honor. But Jesus also says in the text, give to God what is God's. What in the world does God want from you? Seriously, what does he want? He wants your wholehearted fear, love, and trust in him above all things. He wants your broken and your contrite heart that grieves over your sin and desperately wants our Lord's Good Friday forgiveness. God wants your faith. He wants your hope. He wants your trust. He wants your time. He wants your talents and treasure before taxes, not after. Psalm 116 teaches you what God wants. You can look it up on your own. Psalm 116, I said, but listen, we sing it a lot on Sunday mornings. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem. You give God yourself because he has given himself to you for your salvation, Christ. He has given you his holy and saving name at the font. The highest honor and the highest worship that you can give to God, are you listening? The highest honor and the highest worship that you can give to God is that you have good use of his Son, Jesus Christ. And how do you do that? By coming to hear the absolution, the sermon, the words of the Lord at the Lord's Supper that categorically promise that he died for you and that all of your sin is forgiven. And not only hearing it, but actually believing it in your heart, giving your amen, which means that's the truth. Now, does the Bible spell that? F-A-I-T-H. Well, as usual, I've preached way too long, so let me finish the sermon today this way. In the end, we all must confess that we do not want to give to Caesar what is Caesar's, let alone give to God what is God's. We daily sin much in the way that we deal with the Lord's instruments in civil authority. We also daily sin much in the way the Lord salvifically provides for us in his word and sacrament on Sunday mornings. Instead of faith, the highest worship of God, we do the opposite. We mistrust, we doubt, we have misgivings. But because Jesus sent me to say it, I'm here to tell you that you are forgiven. Really, you are. Jesus promises. He says so. And so now he has caught you in his word of forgiveness. And his good use of you, his forgiven people, will be to do what in your life? What is it? Give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.